Curious Nashville is supported by Yazoo Brewing Company, whose philosophy is simple. Make good beer. Use science and love to make it even better. Rinse and repeat. You can test that philosophy at the Yazoo Tap Room, or grab a six-pack to go and listen to this episode over a cold Yazoo brew.
This is a David Allan Coe song that I'm guessing you've never heard.
One sultry summer morning in the year of 1918, 300 men with ebony skin pulled out of Union Station.
It's one of many country tunes involving trains, or in this case, a train wreck. Bobby Braddock penned this in the 1970s. It's a fairly accurate telling of a tragic wreck in West Nashville at a bend in the tracks called Dutchman's Curve. The collision is still, and given safety improvements, may always be the deadliest train accident in American history. At least 100 people died, mostly because of bad timing. I'm Blake Farmer, and as part of Curious Nashville, a listener submitted a question about Dutchman's Curve. What happened, and did any changes occur because of it? So we brought in historian David Ewing. Hello, David.
Hello, Blake. It's great to be here.
All right, take us there to that early morning, July 9th, 1918.
There was a night train coming from Memphis, Tennessee, that was supposed to arrive in Nashville a little after 7 o'clock. And then there was a train leaving Union Station in Nashville that was supposed to leave earlier than it did, and both trains were late that day, which was part of the reason why we had this horrific crash.
1918 also happened to be the height of World War I. You had troops coming and going, and in this case, you had men, mostly African Americans, traveling from Memphis to Nashville in order to work at a new DuPont munitions factory in Old Hickory.
Train number one coming from Memphis could have been its own country song by itself. Its engineer, William Lloyd, who had worked for the railroad, the Nashville, Chattanooga, and St. Louis, had worked over 30 years. This was his last day on the job. The night train from Memphis always left Memphis, you know, after midnight and came into Nashville usually around 7 o'clock, 7:10 in the morning. Train number four, leaving Union Station, was driven by Engineer Kennedy.
If you look at train tracks in town, there are usually two sets, but just outside the city, it often goes down to a single track, and that's what got these guys in trouble.
So Engineer Kennedy, who was at fault, who left Union Station that morning and took the kind of route out of the Gulch, kind of, there's a railroad bridge that crosses over Charlotte to the North Gulch area and kind of curves around near Fisk University. Near Marathon, there are many, many tracks that goes underneath the Jubilee Bridge and then kind of wraps back around towards Centennial Park. Where HCA's headquarters is today in Centennial Park, there was a railroad roundhouse called The Shops. And it was at that roundhouse, it went from a double track to a single track. So Kennedy should have yielded and stopped around Centennial Park and waited for the night train to pass.
But instead, the engineer barreled down the tracks to his death.
Both engineers were instantly killed Wow. at the impact. And here's the other sad thing about this train crash, which is why it is the worst train crash in American history. This happened at a horseshoe curve called Dutchman's Curve. It was basically a very deep bend in the track. So what that meant, when these two trains literally met at the curve, both engineers were going full throttle and did not see each other until literally they were up on top of each other and could not brake. When this crash happened at 7:20 in the morning, there was a very loud sound, a crash. People heard the sound and knew that there was something wrong or something horrific had just happened. People from miles away heard the crash and just came running. And when they got there, they saw two train engines, you know, tipped over on the side of this cornfield in Dutchman's Curve.
Race played a role in this tragedy. Given the time in history, segregation was the law of the land. There were separate accommodations for whites and blacks, but probably not equal in terms of safety.
Whites were always in steel Pullman cars, which were sturdier and always at the back of the train, which was the safest place to be during a train crash. African Americans, on the other hand, were relegated to wooden cars built around the Civil War era in the 19th century, and they were flimsy, and if you had a train crash, they would often split very easily. This was a very sad story just because of the loss of human life, but out of the 101 people that died, most of the people, you know, over 90 of the people were African American. The African Americans that were on this train did not have a chance to survive given where they were.
The cars splintered and collapsed, almost like a telescope. Some burned. As the smoke rose, as many as 40,000 people flooded to the site. That's like a third of the population of the city at the time.
Many were curiosity seekers, yeah. But others, you know, a part of the Red Cross, the local prominent women bought typewriters to the site, and they basically typed letters and mailed them immediately to tell family members that they were okay.
So this was almost the form of you know, a Facebook check-in or something.
Yes, that I'm okay. You heard about this accident, but they immediately mail these letters to tell people that their loved one was fine. Needless to say, every doctor and nurse in the city was called out to the site to help out. It was gruesome what happened. Probably even how the paper described it was still very toned down. People were writhing in pain. There was, you know, bodies without heads and without limbs. There were people who were just unidentified. They were so badly maimed. A friend of mine, Debbie Cox, who was retired from the Metro Archives, grandfather was a butcher in Nashville during this time. And she said they asked all the butchers to come out to help this site because they were used to dealing with blood and guts.
In other words, to be able to help with the cleanup and not get grossed out?
Exactly. Because it was that horrific.
This wouldn't have been the kind of thing where they don't identify everybody and there are mass graves near
there.
Oh,
yes,
like that.
It is. If you look in the state death records from this day, there are still some death records that were just recorded, 5 unidentified African-American women, 3 unidentified African-American men. They were so badly dismembered, some were never identified, which is one of the reasons why I think the 101 number is actually low, that was just a number that the government put, and then they just didn't really do any more investigation after that.
Hmm. Do we know if the railroad learned a lesson?
The Interstate Commerce Commission, which was kind of the predecessor of the NTSB today, investigated this report. Now, they came down here and they only interviewed employees of the railroad. They didn't interview anybody else. And today, if you have the NTSB, the smallest plane crash, will have about 1,000-page report and all sorts of recommendations. This report of the Interstate Commerce Commission was basically about 5 pages.
Wow.
And it was written in all of maybe a month and a half. They put the blame on Engineer Kennedy, and then a secondary cause of a lot of the deaths they put on the wooden cars. So after this train crash, they recommended to phase out all wooden cars on passenger railroads. And they also recommended a more sophisticated signaling system that would hopefully prevent this from happening in the future.
We'll talk about why even Nashville natives might not know the story of Dutchman's Curve when we come back.
Curious Nashville is supported by Yazoo Brewing Company. We test Yazoo owner and brewmaster Linus Hall on the curious history of beer.
Linus, did you know that the Code of Hammurabi said if bartenders watered down beer, they would be executed?
I did not know that, but that seems like a should be modern law as well.
Would you consider instituting that here at the tap room?
Yes, because we do not water the beer down at all, so that'd be an easy law to uphold.
I fact-checked this with a pint of Yazoo Pale Ale.
Still my favorite.
Linus's claim checked out. But don't take my word for it. Do your own fact-checking. Tour the brewery, pull a pint in the tap room, or just pick up a 6-pack of Yazoo, a Nashville original.
So precisely where is Dutchman's Curve?
It's basically located kind of near the rear of the Belmead Publix. Today, there's a greenway that goes behind the Belmead Publix, linking Whitebridge Road to McCabe's Park.
Is there any way to tell whether, you know, this was seen as a gigantic tragedy, or was it any less than that because it was a train full of African Americans? I mean, I hate to ask such a question.
Well, it's interesting. I believe that's one of the reasons why we don't know more about this crash, because, well, really two things. One was the people on the train were mainly African Americans during a time where there was still Jim Crow segregation in the South. The other reason was it was during World War I. We had thousands of troops fighting in the war. And when this train wreck happened on Tuesday, the Tennessean the next day, of course, had a big headline about it. And then Wednesday, Thursday, there was some mention of it. But by Friday, the names of the dead of the war had replaced the dead of the train accident, and the accident wasn't even on the front page of the newspaper on Friday. And to put that in perspective, the death toll of the war, the week of the train crash, 647 Americans were killed in World War I, and 703 died the previous week. So when 101 people get killed in a train crash in Nashville, Tennessee, relatively speaking, it's not as big a story. And it's interesting, the term train wreck, you know, Wikipedia lists the name train wreck as something metaphorically to describe something disastrous yet inevitable.
Metaphor.
Yes. Or distasteful yet mortally fascinating. You don't want to stare, but you can't look away. So we use the word train wreck all the time in society, but we don't know what the greatest train wreck in American history is.
Wow, and it's right here in Nashville.
Yes.
David Ewing is an attorney and historian here in Nashville and the keeper of so much city lore. He's also helping plan a centennial commemoration for the Dutchman's Curve wreck. Music for this episode is by Poddington Bear, Locke Lamond, Dave Coleman, and Justin Schipper. Next up for Curious Nashville, Emily Siner goes out in the field to answer a question that listeners voted on. What happens when you throw the wrong thing in the recycling bin? I'm Blake Farmer, and this is Curious Nashville.
Now every July 9th, a few miles west of town, to this day, some folks will say, you can hear that mournful sound.